God, I just want to thank you that you love each and every one of us, that you have made us, and not just made us who we are, you've made us new. When we put our faith in you, that you give us new life. God, thanks for who you are. Thanks for this week. Would you give us strength for the week? And more than anything, would you help us to live and to follow you? God, we pray you bless, see you at the poll tomorrow. Would you bless these students as they try and live their lives for you? God, we pray in these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. All right, grab a seat. All right, would you turn to the front cover with me real quick? All right, we've been doing a series called Core Four. Core Four is four core essentials of our youth group. Why do we exist and what are we about? And we are on number three, which is about live. If you look at the front, it says live. Live out your faith consistently. Reach in to grow and mature. Everybody say reach in. Reach in, right? And if you are going to rate yourself, how consistent would you say your walk with God has been? Has it been like super steady? Has it been a little bit hilly? Has it been like super extreme roller coaster bouncy? Or has it been like non-existent? Okay? You don't have to answer to me. Just in your head, like how has your faith journey been? And perhaps it's been a little up and down. And I think that's kind of normal. But I wanted to take a look at this idea of moral growth. What does it mean to make good moral choices? What does it mean to really live for God and not for yourself? So we're going to take a look. Here's what it says. It says, who decides what is right and wrong? When you're young, our parents often teach us right from wrong, but who told them? And as we get older, society often communicates what is right and wrong with laws and regulations. And the police enforce those laws, and there are consequences if we break them. All right, anybody broken a law before? Yeah, ever stepped outside the crosswalk? Yeah, ever turn right on a red? Sorry, that's a joke. You're allowed to do that, except in a small little town on the way to ice camp. Okay? Maybe you've broken some other laws, or maybe you've broken some rules that your mom and dad have. It says, even in our friendship circles, there are right and wrong ways to dress or to act or to talk. Sorry, to talk or to act. But in the end, how are we really supposed to live, right? When it comes to moral choices and right living, there's really only one authority, which is God. The Bible gives us God's words and shows us how to live as people of rich character and deep conviction. It can be difficult to follow God at times because we may have to change our behavior even when we don't want to. All right, have you ever had to change your behavior in order to follow God? I have. Yeah, because left to myself, I make bad choices and I don't have a reason to be a good person. All right, so that's what living for Christ is all about, growing in maturity and becoming more like him. It is challenging to live out our faith consistently. But as we learn to make wise moral choices and decisions, we are one step closer to being the person that God wants us to be. So do you feel like, let's say you are a hunk of clay on the spinning wheel and God's shaping you, okay? And you're spinning around and around and God's molding you and shaping you. And maybe right now you're just kind of this rough hunk of gray clay. Or maybe you've begun to kind of turn into a vase a little bit. Or maybe God's really shaped you and now you've got like a curve to it. And the top opens up, and now they've got his arm inside, and he's smoothing things out. Are you with me? Like, is your character, is God smoothing out your character? Or are you still kind of this rough hunk of sinful selfishness? Are you with me? And everybody in the room is probably at a different place. And wherever you're at on that journey, I would encourage you today to do this, to say, you know what? Let God shape you some more. Let him smooth out the rough edges even more. All right, so we're going to take a look at living for God here. Here's our main verse tonight. It's this, Ephesians 4, 22 into 24. Who would like to read that for us?
You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
All right, so what does that mean if you have this old self and this new self? What's he talking about? This is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. These Christian people are being reminded that they need to do this thing. All right, picture it like wearing a shirt or a jersey or something, okay? And it's dirty and it's filthy and it's gross and it represents your old life, all the mistakes you made, all the wrong things you've done, all the things you've done to offend God. All of your sin is wrapped up in this jersey. Okay? And it's bloody and dirty and muddy and stinky. And God's like, look, I want you to cut that off and burn it. Throw it away. okay? And then he's like, here, look, here's a brand new white and clean robe. I want you to wear this, okay? And so when you come to Christ, you put your faith in Jesus. You believe that he died on the cross for you and that he rose again. You put your faith in him. He gives you this new identity, this new self, right? But you know what? Paul had to remind these people because they kept forgetting about their new self. And you know what they kept wanting to do? They kept wanting to dig through the trash and pull out their old, gross jersey and put it on. And God's like, look, I made you new. Remember the song we just sung? I made you new. Quit living like the old self, right? And you remember when we had the little tadpole thing that turned into a frog, right? And a tadpole breathes with gills, right? And a frog breathes with lungs. If the frog tries to breathe underwater, it dies, right? And it's the same idea. It has a new self. And God's like, look, you have a new nature. Stop living like the old one. And part of what that's about is today is making good choices to live like the new person that God made you to be, all right? And then it's got this kind of three parts to it, the old self, and then being made new in your mind and in your attitude, and then putting on the new one, right? So your handout is kind of broken that way on the left side of your paper. You can kind of see where we're going with it, is to put off the old self. So what does that mean to put off the old self? Well, I think it's important if we dig it apart a little bit is this idea that we need to obey God. You might be like, well, where did I get that? Where did I get this idea of obeying God? Well, let's go back and take a look. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 1. How do we put off the old self? It's going to involve some of this. It says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God. There it is. Okay. Obey God because you're his children. Okay. And then check this part out. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. Okay, and maybe you haven't really thought of yourself about as being evil or maybe an evil person, but when we sin, that's evil. Okay, that's not of God. He says, don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then, implying that you know better now, right? But now you must do this. Be holy. Everybody say, be holy. Be holy. I'll say it like I don't know, like, be holy. Nobody's going for that. You want to go for that? Be holy! Be holy! Oh, there we go. Okay. All right, everybody say it quiet. Be holy. Be holy. All right, that might seem like a lot for us to be asked to do, but God keeps going. He says this, be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said this, you must be holy because I am holy. And that's where we're going today, is the whole thing is wrapped up there, and it's on your handout. So the first part is obey God, right? So if you're going to obey God, you need to do this. You need to live differently. If your life doesn't look any different than the life of the person who doesn't know God, then something's wrong, right? Because we're not supposed to live like the world and get caught up in the things that all of your friends are doing, and we're not get caught up in all of the stuff in media and society and all get focused on ourselves and on the wrong things. God's like, look, you're supposed to live differently. And then this part, live carefully. Sometimes I think we just go through life and make choices and decisions and we don't quite think things through. So being careful to make good choices. And then this last part, to live honorably. Think about your school. Are there people at your school who live honorably? Maybe there are. How about this? Are there people at your school who live dishonorably? Probably a whole lot more, right? So, setting yourself aside, setting yourself to be different, to be godly, really. All right, here's the next part, to be holy. Okay, we're putting off the old self. The first one was obey God. The second one is to be holy. Well, when I think of holy, you know what I think of? I think of angels, I think of wings, I think of halos, and I think that's not me. I think holy things are God, not people. And it's a weird thing for me to think that you and I are supposed to do that. That's kind of weird. Isn't that just for God? Isn't that just for, like, angels and holy things and stuff? And my view of it is wrong. It needs corrected. And so according to this commentary I read, it says this. The being holy is like this. Being totally devoted or dedicated to God. Okay? All right, well, that makes a little bit more sense. And then being set aside for his special use or special purpose. Okay? Do you have anything in your room that's set aside for a special purpose? Maybe it's, you do, yes, okay. Maybe it's something you wear, that you only wear a certain pair of shoes or a certain outfit for certain things, okay? set aside for a special purpose. Maybe it's a uniform, or maybe it's a special dress, okay? Or maybe it's set up. Maybe you've got money. Maybe you've set some money aside for a special purpose, right? You want to save up to buy, fill in the blank, right? But this idea is, God says, look, I want you to be people who are set apart from the culture, set apart from society that live differently. And that's the next part, set apart from sin and its influence. Hard to escape sin's influence, but the more you sin, the more influenced you are by it, the more you're going to affect the people around you. And God's like, look, I want you to do this, to be people who move away from sin, okay? Not to be sinless, not to be perfect. Sometimes people think that being a Christian or following God means you have to be perfect, and it doesn't. But it does mean you need to make some effort, and you need to move toward sinning less, move toward being more like Christ. And here's the last part, to imitate him by following his moral standards. All right, so does that help a little bit? Grab a hold of what the word holy looks like and means? Perhaps. It might still seem a little bit high to achieve, but I feel like God wants us to move toward being more like Jesus. All right, here's the next part. This one will probably make more sense. Putting off the old self means stop doing the old things. If you used to be a liar and a cheat and a thief and all that kind of stuff, then stop doing those things. If you used to sass off and have a bad attitude and be totally selfish, God's like, look, I want you to be different. I want you to start working on your character, right? And so in 1 Peter 2 and in Ephesians 4 and in Ephesians 5, Peter and Paul give lists of things to Christian people. Get this. These were letters to the church. And I imagine they wouldn't have to have been told if they hadn't been doing them. So the church is wrestling. The people of God are wrestling with doing these things and their urge to stop doing them or to get rid of them. Here are a few of them. All right, malicious behavior, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and backstabbing. Falsehood, which is pretty much lying. Anger, and I would say inappropriate anger, because there is like a holy kind of anger. You can be angry at the things of God being violated, right? Jesus was angry. But in our anger, we're not supposed to sin. Stealing, unwholesome talk covers a whole bunch of stuff. Anybody ever have a problem with your mouth, the things you say? Yeah, cussing, swearing, all that kind of stuff, yeah. Offending the spirit, bitterness, rage, brawling, which is kind of like fighting. Slander, which would be kind of like making fun of people. And malice, which is kind of an interesting word. But doing things with evil intent would be a good way to describe that, okay? All right, now be honest. Have you ever done things with evil intent toward a brother or sister? Okay, that would be malice, right? Have you ever talked bad behind someone's back? Okay, that could be slanderous or gossip, right? Okay. All right, so then it goes on in Ephesians 5. It talks about sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. Sounds like something that might go on at the football stadium. Sounds like school, right? Yeah. All right, cafeteria. Is anything going on in the cafeteria? Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse joking? Maybe, maybe not. What do you think? Yeah? Okay. Ever been guilty of telling a dirty joke? Maybe. Ever been, all right, super sarcastic? Okay, insulting other people? Sure. Okay. All right, I think you could look at that list and say there's probably at least a couple of those you may need to work on, and you'll have a chance to answer that later. All right? So we're going to come back to this verse that we talked about earlier in 1 Peter. All right, we're going to use it. This first part, so think clearly. Okay, that's going to be an outline for us. And then exercise self-control, those first two parts. So here's what it looks like. How do you be made new? In the attitude of your mind, in the attitude of your heart. Well, it starts with this, thinking clearly, this new way of thinking. If you think like your old way of trying to get what you want and trying to be just focused on yourself, you're not going to be thinking about the way God wants you to behave, right? All right, here's the next part. Spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. What would it look like for you to renew your mind and how you think and how you perceive life? If all you're doing is looking at the world through an eyes of a sinful person, you're going to miss what God intended. He wants you to like put on a new filter and look at the world through this lens of your faith in Christ, right? All right, so it involves this next part, which is exercising self-control. So if you're going to rate yourself, how good are you at resisting and exercising self-control when it comes to sin in your life, okay? Or what if I said, how good are you at resisting the temptation to eat chocolate all the time? Or to play video games all the time? Or to spend your money on everything? How good are you at self-control? What would you say? How's your self-control? Give me a thumb. Your self-control. All right, we'll call it pass-fail, okay? Sure, why not? All right, is it hard to exercise self-control over things that you really desire and want? What do you think? I think it is. Yeah. How about this? Discerning right from wrong. If we're going to be made new, then we got to make better choices, right? And the Bible gives us a good way to make choices in life. But sometimes we don't even consider it. We don't even think about it. We don't consult God in our everyday life. So discerning right from wrong, a new way of making decisions. What if God was like, look, I got something to say about your playlist. I'd like you to choose better music. What would you say? Now God's stepping on my toes. Or what if God's like, you know what, this new decision thing, I need you to pick a new way of deciding who's your boyfriend or girlfriend. You've been doing it on your own, but I've got a better way for you to do that. Okay? Or what if he's like, look, I've got a better way for you to decide what movies to go to this weekend. Or maybe I've got a better way for you to dress when you get up in the morning. I kind of have an opinion about how much skin you're showing off at school. Okay? What if God just started getting involved in your everyday business? Does that bother you? Maybe a little. But you know what? There's a better way to live. And when we start getting down to it, God wants you to be made new and to make better choices. All right, this idea of a new way of making decisions. How about this? Becoming a person of character. Do you guys want to be people of character? Well, if I asked you what makes a good friend, you would probably list a bunch of character qualities of a good friend, right? Someone who's trustworthy, right? Someone who doesn't talk behind your back. Someone who maybe you have common interests with and who's fun to be around. But by the end of the day, it's going to be like somebody who's faithful, somebody who is caring. You're going to want character in that friend of yours, right? And God's like, look, it's the same thing with God. God wants you to be people of character, not just friends, but he wants you to be a person of your word, a person who is a man of God, a person who's a woman of God, and who has this other part, conviction, that you know what's right and wrong, and then you decide to choose what's right, even if other people are choosing the wrong path. This idea of looking ahead, in 1 Peter, it talks about this idea. You know what? Jesus is coming back. He's going to return. And don't forget that you're living this life on earth right now, but there is another life ahead. There is life after death. There is a spirit and a soul to you, and that is affected by how you live and act right now. And it goes on and says in 1 Peter to remember that God is going to judge people and reward people based on their behavior here and now. So be mindful of your actions and remember Christ's payment. Remember that he died for you. Some good words from 1 Peter in chapter 1 there. All right, so that's being made new. So how do you do this? How do you put on the new self? Well, remember last time we met together here, we talked about following God, right? And that's the first one on the list, following God's example, right? But what does it mean? What's the difference between following God and then just really living your life for Christ, really living for Jesus? And I think some of you are kind of on that edge. You've given your life, but not all of it. You've given him some control, but not all of it. You've got some passion for God, but not a lot. And I think today's topic is like stepping over the fence and saying, all right, are you going to be all in for God or not? Are you going to drag your feet? Are you going to be half in and half out? Are you going to be lukewarm? Or are you just going to decide, you know what, I'm going to go after Jesus. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to decide I really want to live for him. And that's what this idea of putting on your new self is. In Ephesians 5, it says living a life of love. That's a good place to start. Are you a loving, kind, caring, and compassionate person? Think about it. How about this? Being kind, being tenderhearted, forgiving, and thankful, found in Ephesians 4. It says putting on this idea of putting on the new self, right? And then living by the Spirit, not just on your own strength, but asking God to help you. Ask God to help you be a good brother or sister. Ask God to help you be a good son or daughter. Ask God to help you be a good friend. And then shining bright, which I think is super, super applicable, especially in light of See You at the Pole tomorrow. Tomorrow is a chance to shine bright for God. I would say go. Go, whether you want to or not, just go. Take a step, go and pray at your school, and be surrounded by other people who are trying to follow God too. Maybe you'll meet some new friends. Maybe you'll see, hey, I'm not the only one. Maybe I'm not alone. Regardless whether you go to see at the pool tomorrow, shine bright this school year for God. But you can't shine bright if you're not living right. Are you with me? If you're living like crap, then that's what you're going to reflect. And you're not going to look any different than anybody else, and you won't make a difference, which is our topic next time, okay, is making a difference. So shine bright, and then be wise. You guys, it's so easy to be stupid. Oh, my gosh. You don't even have to think about it. Raise your hand if you've ever been stupid, okay? Oh, my gosh, I can be stupid all the time, every day, okay? All right, stupidity. It was a couple days ago. I was getting up in the morning, and I was distracted, okay? And I was totally being stupid. I go into the bathroom. I got the sink right here. I'm trying to put my contact lenses in, right? So I open up my case. I take it. I shake it out. And I'm going to fill it back up with solution. And then I realize they're not in my eyes. They were in the container. And I just sent them down the drain. Good thing they're disposable ones, you know. But, like, I'm like, I was so distracted. I'm like, I was just, oh, my gosh. I just, you know, there just went money down, literally down the drain. Couldn't get them back. And who wants to put those in your eyes after they've been down the drain, right? No, I couldn't even find them. They were just gone, washed away. And I'm like, I have done this hundreds and hundreds of times every morning for years and years and years. I put my contacts in. I don't know what I was doing. I was being stupid, okay? Now, that's just a silly one, right? I mean, we've been, you guys could tell stories about being really stupid and getting in trouble with the police or something big like that or whatever. It is hard to be wise. Hey, listen, it is hard to be wise. It takes work to be wise. It takes you humbling yourself. It takes advice from other people. It takes looking into God's word and deciding how you're going to live. It's not easy, but being wise is better than being stupid, right? Oh, come on. Is being wise better than being stupid? Thank you. You guys, let me just wrap it up with, I want to read you a section from the Bible here. Okay, this is Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. It says, the topic here is living as children of the light. Okay? So track with me, all right? It says, with the Lord's authority, let me say this. This is Paul speaking, okay? He says, live no longer as the ungodly do. For they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. You guys get that? The ungodly don't care about right and wrong. And they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. And I got to be honest, when I read that, kind of sounds like America to me. It just does. In verse 20, it says, but that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. So since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that it is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So put away falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold for the devil. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow. Listen, this is an interesting phrase. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Think about that. Is the way you're living right now make the Holy Spirit sad that he's inside of you? If your answer is yeah, then change the way you live. You have control over it. Change the way you live. All right, it goes on to say this. Remember, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of these things. Listen, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And then in chapter 5, it goes on and says this, follow God's example in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Check this out. Live a life filled with love for others. Follow the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself up as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to him. And then it says this, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You guys, kind of a long litany of stuff, but here's the bottom line. Paul was talking to Christian people like you and me, saying, guess what, everybody? Man, we need to get our lives straight. We need to get our lives in order. I bet there's a few things you could resist more. Some temptation you could fight, some sin you could stop, and some passion you could put toward living for God and being more consistent and more steady in your walk with Jesus. Raise your hand if you think there's a little bit of room that you could be more consistent in your walk with God and in your faith. Yeah, me too. All right, so we're done. We're going to pray, and then we're going to new groups tonight, at least new groups for some of you tonight. Would you pray with me? God, tonight's topic's not easy. It is so tough sometimes to follow you. A lot of times, we don't want to change our behavior. We just want to do our own thing. But God, deep down, I really do want to be a man that follows you. I really do want to be a person of character. God, would you help these teenagers tonight to be teenagers that have character and conviction, that follow you, that grow in their moral choices and decisions, and are more and more like you each day. God, we need your help to do that. We ask your Spirit to help us do that. And we pray you bless our groups tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.